Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Alistair.
Yes, Andrew.
I'm glad I've got you here because I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, when did you last do anything good for the podcast's ad
revenue?
Andy,
well, recently I got this Harry's ad.
Oh, yeah?
And
has it changed your life?
It's completely changed my life. The ad itself has this beautiful, soft handle.
Yeah, it's very well weighted.
Yeah, it's a sharp ad.
Yes.
That can not only cut the hair off of your face, but also anything off of your face.
It sounds like an amazing ad.
Well, the ad, in many ways, is a metaphor for a Harry's razor.
That's incredible. I can't wait for the ad, which will be later on in the episode of Two in the Think Tank, the podcast that we're about to record.
But let me just preview that ad with my joke. And I ran my Harry's razor over
a... Did you want to start again?
Well, I ran my Harry's razor over a peach, Andy.
Yes, Alistair.
And now that peach is a nectarine.
Boom! Look forward to that later on in the podcast. And ring ding, ring ding, ding, ring ding, 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 ring ding, 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 ring a ding, 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 ding. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy,
and I am Alistair George William Trombley Birchall, and we are repeating the same thing that we always say at the beginning of the podcast.
Yes.
Which, and it's such a weird thing. I remember listening to other people's podcasts and thinking, how is Marc Maron so good at doing those intros at the beginning where he says the same thing over and over again? What the fuckers, what the fucking ears, what the fucking oys,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
Yeah.
What the fucking ucks, like that. But I didn't realize at the time that he is completely working off of muscle memory. His, you know, his brain is not even, he's not even, he's basically asleep at that point. He's resting, you know, pre-podcast while he, you know, just shoots out all that garbage.
And it's a shame, Alistair, that there aren't more things in life that we can do from muscle memory, right? Like, you think about all the problems that we have, right, with getting good elected officials, you know, good politicians, good presidents, prime ministers, whatever's your poison.
Yeah.
All right?
Presidents is my poison.
That's your poison. All right. Yeah. And the problem is that they only get to do it, you know, once or twice, right?
Become president. Yeah.
But if they did it, you know, 10 or 20 times a day.
Yeah.
You know, think how good they'd be. They'd be able to do it without thinking, and then they'd be able to get on with other things, much like driving a car.
Yeah.
Which they could do at the same time.
I guess it doesn't really make sense to extend campaigns over weeks or years.
Yes.
Because that takes up a lot of time where you could be governing.
I think we should always be in a state of having an election.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And they're always announcing more and more results.
Yeah.
And that way we're getting constant updates on who is the president at any given moment in time.
Yeah.
Like they do when they announce the results on election night.
Mm-hmm.
All that data's coming in and they've got the maps and they've got the figures and whatever. Yeah. It's that, but it's always
shifting.
Yeah, and so that way we can get real-time response to how your governing is going.
Yeah. So it's kind of closer to like a war.
It's a constant state of warfare.
Yeah, like a coup. Mm. It's like multiple coups happening in multiple electorates at all times, involving the voters, involving policy decisions.
Yeah, but like democratic coups.
Yeah.
You know, because I think you can still vote maybe on your phone or something second by second.
Probably using blockchain.
I'm going to say blockchain's involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but I think this will be better for some reason.
Yeah. Well, I guess because people will be great, will have muscle memory.
At voting as well.
At voting, muscle memory, at accepting change.
Yes. Which is a really hard thing to get muscle memory about. Because it almost defeats the purpose of muscle memory, but you just need more experience.
That's right.
You'll find you get there.
I think you'd probably get a muscle memory at being numb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then also, you know, making quick snap judgments whilst numb.
Yes.
Yeah.
You'll get muscle memory at not doing anything at all because you feel overwhelmed.
Well, there's a chance.
Yeah.
But then I don't know why things are shifting so fast if people aren't doing anything.
Hackers, I guess.
You think it's all hackers?
Yeah, people are probably hacking the system.
I don't know. Look, I don't know that much about cryptocurrency or crypto voting.
Mm.
But probably whales, people with lots of votes, will be altering.
Do people call it a cryptocracy?
Oh, that sounds like it could work.
Ah, oh, great.
And then maybe everybody's anonymous.
Yes.
Everybody's just this weird chain of characters.
Right.
And so at the moment it's like B8!6x295sa.
Is the president. That's good because it removes the element of personality from it all.
Yeah.
Which is such a poison for politics.
It's all an audition for a symphony orchestra. It's all behind a curtain.
Yes.
So that you can't judge the person based on who they are, what gender they are.
How good they are at the music.
No, you're only judging them on how good they are at the music.
I wasn't sure how thick the curtain was.
Yeah, no, it was...
I thought it would have been several meters of lead curtain.
I apologize for not making that explicit.
Always specify.
Is there any sketch idea in here?
I think there's a sketch idea in... I mean, maybe not. But if I didn't constantly changing politics, maybe even it could be a Black Mirror episode.
Right.
Thing of, you know,
hashtag Black Mirror.
Yeah. Hashtag Black Mirror.
Are we pitching to Black Mirror now?
We're speaking directly to Charlie Brooker.
Charlie.
Hello, Charlie.
Listen up.
Thanks for all your work. Hope you're good.
Thank you. I've seen the first season. Loved the first ep.
I have seen the first ep. Loved the first ep.
Yeah.
And I
really do plan on watching more.
I've listened to a lot of people talking about it on other podcasts, and it sounds great. So well done.
But thank you. I think it's just good. In a way, you're also trailblazing, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Trailblazing that comedy people can do sort of quite dramatic things that are high concept based on your probably inner fears and that are a little bit funny.
Yes.
This is based off of mostly the first episode.
Again. Anyway, constant voting, elections, always changing all the time.
But is this
basically
also...
Basically, it's like a leaderboard.
Everybody's anonymous still?
Everyone's anonymous, and all you see are the results, you know, because you're also getting live. I guess all laws are constantly changing as well.
Yeah.
Because in a situation where all the sort of businesses are run by... are run by computers.
Yeah.
You'll just update the laws via some sort of constant firmware upgrades that are going on anyway. So updating, you'll be able to update laws in real time. So you'll be able to see their effect on the economy because we'll also have real-time monitoring of the GDP.
Yeah, and I don't think we'll wait for like a year before we do our taxes. Our taxes will be
constant,
done in real time.
Yes,
as soon as you implement some employment law, then there'll be a big enough population size. We'll be hugely overpopulated at that point.
Hugely.
You know, not only will skyscrapers be...
not like now.
No, they won't be like they are now. They'll be scrapier.
Yes.
They'll be more sky-like.
Mm-hmm.
And also we'll have roads that scrape the sky. And other public transport.
Everything will scrape the sky.
Everything will scrape the sky. We'll have people that scrape the sky.
Yeah.
Imagine how far stilt technology will be in, let's say, 30 to 40 years. Because, I mean, what was it, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago? You never saw a stilt that was probably higher than what, like a meter?
Yeah.
Like when I was in primary school, all you could, the tallest stilt was a paint can with a rope.
And then since then, Alistair, let me tell you, the stilt industry, they've made big strides.
They've made huge strides, Andy. So What are we writing down here?
We're writing down...
the real-time society.
Yeah, real-time... ocracy.
Ocracy.
And... yeah, just that, the point that everything's constantly changing. You see, your phone, I guess, you know, it can just have a little dot up in the corner or something that's either that'll be green or red depending on whether or not the economy is in surplus or deficit. Right?
Yeah,
and you'll be able to.
I'm glad that we're still focusing on that.
Oh,
almost
so
pointless.
Yeah, utterly. It feels like it's been disproven as being anyway.
Yeah,
but if we're all going to be reactionary, we might as well be reactionary in real time.
That's true. But how is this going to affect our regular lives? Because this is what I'm worried about, like, in terms of this being a sketch.
Mm.
Are we just going to see how sort of unfocused the person's life is? Or, you know, is this just a guy, maybe it's about a guy who's trying to, he's like, look, I'm getting too caught up in society. Mm. And I think I'm just going to move to voting once a day, maybe three times a day. And I'm going to set an alarm and then vote. Rather than just always watch all the figures and be constantly voting
yeah.
on every bill, on everything, like, you know, for every candidate.
I think that's really good. And then I think we could also see it from the flip side of somebody who is like, you know, in the morning, they wake up, they're the president. But then by
sure.
like 10:30, they're no longer the president.
Yeah.
And then like nostalgia for the old times, people start to, you know, reflect on like, oh, remember how great things were before 10:30 a.m.
Makes a comeback.
He makes a comeback, right? And he's back yeah. in by 2 o'clock.
Oh, that's
right?
nice.
And then he's the prime minister, or but, he's the president.
Yeah,
maybe they've gone from being maybe they don't even have presidents anymore by 3 o'clock. Maybe it's yeah. back to a constitutional monarchy.
Well, I think maybe he could lose it because at about 3:30, you know, he has that kind of 3:30 crash.
yeah, yeah,
and then. And which then is, he really loses it.
Which is great. It's crazy that you're still the president when you're having that 3:30 crash.
It's awful.
Even if you're elected on your best possible day and you're at your peak,
mm-hmm.
everyone knows you get a little bit sleepy at around 3:30. You're not going to be presidenting at your best.
No, absolutely not. Right?
So it shouldn't be you anymore. You shouldn't have to be incapacitated by like illness or insanity
yeah.
before they can you know replace you with someone else.
Yeah.
You should just be a bit off... feeling a bit off.
Yeah.
Maybe some sort of reaction test or something, and then you're out again.
No, I think that makes sense, yeah. And I think that all policy and all big decisions, it's not anybody sitting around coming up with stuff. I think the AI that's kind of, you know, the society's subconscious.
Yes.
And that is also kind of governing everything. Not governing, but you know what I mean. It's,
oh, I know what you mean.
I think
now.
It's sending you prompts. It's always sending you prompts so that governing is kind of just like an improv. So it's like so that way you can yeah. govern from your house mm-hmm. and it just comes up like boop and then it says, do you think that we should change employment mm-hmm. so that, you know, people are a little bit more free in terms of lunch breaks and they don't...
I think that's almost too much information, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it shows you just two pictures. Right, mm-hmm. like one's a lunchbox with quite a bit of food in it. One's a lunchbox with not quite so much food in it.
Yeah,
and you
right.
just click whichever one you like, and it from that interpolates what you want. It's like those
yeah.
Quizzes online that you're like, these 10 questions can tell you where you'll be in 5 years. And you just answer those 10 questions. They all seem unrelated,
yeah, right.
and then some bullshit pops up.
And I guess that's the problem with using too many words is that there's a lot of legal loopholes that
right.
people could. So I think maybe all law will turn into sort of
pictograms
and things like that.
All law, the big books of law, will just be a series of images, like, you know, like when you go to the beach and there's no swimming and there's a picture of somebody swimming
yep.
or diving or something,
yeah.
and there's a cross through it. Law will just be that.
I think that's good, yeah. And then obviously there'll be different ways in which you can interpret, you know, like the sort of the diving one where it's somebody above some wavy lines like that. That could, you know, you could go,
noodles.
Oh, I thought that said no jumping into fire.
Yeah.
Like that. And then they're like, all right, you get off. And then they make the water silhouette look more like water so that it's
more like water.
Yeah. Or like have an arrow pointing at it saying water.
Till we get to the point where every law is a full virtual reality simulation of your life going in a particular direction, and
right.
you just have to follow that.
Oh, sort of like
because they've eliminated all the loopholes. It just tells you exactly what to do at any point.
Well, that's easier to if you cater the law to each individual.
Mm.
You know, and it'll kind of be like, you know, that when you would play Mario Kart and you could sort of race against your best time and it would kind of be like a ghost. And yep. So what it is that the law shows you through augmented reality a ghost version of your best life where you can stay within the law.
Wow.
And you can see it getting around. And it also, it's calculated the future for you where this is the life that will... Not only is it within the law, but it will also, this is based on, you know, the terms that you were brought up with, you know, like your starting chance. This is what you have to do in order to get the best possible outcome for your life, longevity, money, you know, love, all that kind of stuff. And so you can either follow it, you know, movement per movement, or... You can decide to make your own decisions and then see your ghost getting way more...
Further and further away.
Yeah, way more successful than you.
Unless it's like a GPS in your car where it has to also try and take into account what you've done. So, like, if you miss a turnoff, your GPS in your car doesn't keep talking to you as if you made the turnoff. It factors in, it finds a new route and it says, okay, do a U-turn up here or go around this block or whatever.
Of course, yeah.
Or I found another way you can get there.
Mm.
So, like, it could be that where, like, if you make a bloody-minded decision to go against what the simulation is telling you is best and instead of, you know, waiting for the lights, you run out in front of a lorry.
Ice cream van,
right? You get covered in ice cream.
And hit by a truck.
And also hit by a truck.
Yeah.
But also covered in ice cream. Yeah. And then your simulation has to try and work out the best way out of this.
Right,
And we'll also update you maybe on like your estimated time of arrival.
Obviously, the first thing would be do a U-turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you keep pushing through, get hit by other trucks. And then it has to find a complete other path.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. So, and then
I think this idea of like a it's now sort of to me it's gone away from so much of this law based future.
Yeah.
But just the idea of a GPS for your life.
So maybe separate idea to the real timeocracy.
Yeah. It's a GPS for your entire life. Because the real-timeocracy was all about people's having input. But once you introduce the idea of this augmented reality thing, it sort of stops being free will.
Yeah. Oh, you know what would be great, though, as well, with having the ghost that you could see?
Mm.
Right? Is that you could actually just... Like, let's say you actually decided to go your own way.
Mm.
I think your best life one is always out there, and then you've got the other one that's, you know, like the GPS is still kind of guiding you to keep improving your life and things like that. But I like that you can always go back and see what your best ghost is.
Yeah.
So let's say you're in a relationship that you're not happy with, and, you know, you're doing stuff, but you can still go and, like, find where your ghost is and just go, like, watch it having sex with its girlfriend. You know.
But how good would it be? Because sometimes when you go against what the GPS tells you to do, you can actually get to your destination slightly faster. Like that's happened to me a few times. Really satisfying.
Sure, so stuff that it's not able to predict.
Yeah, it would be pretty good if you were able to get to, you know, have a more successful life than what the computer said you could.
Yeah, I guess that would kind of add like a gambling gambling sort of ness to it where you're like, are we smarter than the... It's not necessarily like you think you can outsmart the computer or the algorithm, but also that you're kind of hoping for luck because it's the unpredictable stuff that it can't, like, you know, it wouldn't be able to guess whether or not you could win the lottery.
Sure.
Yeah, because it's like that's
unless
a too
it
complex.
Unless it had all the information.
Yeah. So unless this thing is that demon that Descartes spoke about at one point.
Laplace?
Maybe, was it Laplace?
I think it was Laplace demon.
I don't know, maybe it was. The Laplace demon, right? Yeah. Rather, I thought you were talking about Laplace was the guy who proposed it.
No, I think it was Laplace who proposed it. Was it Descartes?
Oh, look, I don't know anymore, Andy.
I'm
There's sorry, a chance that it was even Al, Nietzsche.
I'm sorry, listeners.
I'm going to go back and re-listen to all those philosophy and summary that tell you, that teach you the history of philosophy in 5 minutes per episode.
Oh, that sounds pretty good, actually. I was listening to one that was really long and tedious. I mean, it was, man, unbearable. And the guy talked there a lot about giraffes, and I like giraffes, but yeah, it was hard. I think that's good. I think you could do a just those scenes where you'd be out and you've had two drinks,
sure,
and your simulation is like, well, off I go home.
Mm.
You're like, I reckon I've got a good feeling about this third drink. I reckon something good's gonna come of that.
Yeah, and then something good does seem to happen. Let's say they go, hey, let's go to this other bar. You meet Burt Reynolds, like that, and you're like, this is great. And then Burt Reynolds' wife starts hitting on you.
Oh yeah,
right. And then you're like, and then Burt's like, go for it, kid, like that. I tell you, you're right, okay. And then, you know, something real bad happens.
Oh no.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't involve Burt Reynolds.
You lose your wallet.
Yeah, you probably lose your wallet. Maybe like your ear falls off.
Simulations. What would be really good? What would be really good, Al? Would be like, say you turn 18.
Okay, that would be really great.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
I remember that.
What would you do if you turned 18 again?
I'd go to the Tathra pub and buy a bottle of vodka. I mean, I would never even buy a bottle of vodka these days.
Is that what you did?
Yeah, I went to the Tathra pub, I bought a bottle of vodka, and then I think my mom had some warm cranberry juice at home, and I sat alone, maybe with my girlfriend. No, my girlfriend at the time was there, but she didn't want to drink any of it. Or she had a little bit of one and then was like, didn't want to anymore. So then I had like three of those, and then I was like, happy birthday. That was a pretty good one.
But I think, okay, so you turn 18, right? And they switch on your simulation, right?
Yep.
Whatever it is. And you have the option of following it. Or what they can do is they can just make a robot to follow the simulation for you. And then you can just stay at home while the robot taps all your untapped potential, right? And it looks exactly like you, right?
Right, yeah.
And then you don't have to do it. You don't have to worry about your unfulfilled potential because you know your unfulfilled potential is being fulfilled.
Yeah.
By a robot that is you, that's doing exactly what you would have done if you'd done it.
Ghost. Yeah.
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 And, you know, and then what, you stay at home and you can drink vodka and cranberry juice.
Yeah. That was
watching the simulation, being like, yeah, I am crushing it.
I think like that's kind of similar to either our Sherpa idea.
Oh, it is.
Or
yeah,
like
right. Or every other idea that we come up with always. Sure. I'll get it, Al.
Oh, it's okay, Andy. Or just those ideas of not having to live your life yourself, you know?
Yeah. I don't know why they keep coming up. I don't know what it is.
It's because, Andy, because living is a real effort.
It is.
It's a lot of effort.
To live to live isn't necessarily to suffer. No. But it is to, you know.
To kind of like.
To live is to have to do things and
go
places and.
Yeah.
You know,
but one day, Andy,
through on stuff.
One day, I reckon about 50 years away from here, one day we'll be able to sit down,
yes,
have a bunch of free time,
and
bong on. it's not the kind of thing we would do now.
Yeah, baby.
But in 80 years, no, well, maybe not 80, maybe 50 years, bonging on.
Yeah.
Imagine what it'll do to our old minds.
I think that's really quite exciting, isn't it? Because like you feel, I don't think anyone is going to be looking at their elderly grandparent bonging on and being like, oh, such a waste.
Yeah, exactly. And
think of what they could have done. Nothing. They couldn't have done anything.
Unless once we get to 80, people are saying that 80 is the new 40.
That's true.
And then they'll be like, or you know, if we find out that there's like a comedian or something like that, who they're like, you know, this guy didn't break until he was
75.
Yeah. And you'd be like, oh, well, 80's not that crazy. Like, I guess I could.
He thinks all the stuff from before when he was 70 is garbage.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I didn't get good until I was 65 years in.
Okay, how about this? We legalize marijuana,
yep.
But you're only allowed to do it if you're bonging on with your grandparents. What does this achieve? Okay, it makes people spend more time with their grandparents.
Yeah, that there's going to be a big problem of loneliness in the future.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now it's an incentive. You also probably save on pain medication and stuff for old people.
Yeah.
All right, so we're improving their quality of life. They're feeling less pain. Maybe they can sell the drugs. We don't need the pension anymore.
Oh, yeah, we could. So the government gives the pension to old people in the form of weed.
Great.
And so then they fix loneliness because people are coming around to buy weed.
Yeah.
And then the people can only use the weed if they're near old people, mm-hmm. which is something that often drug dealers would try to convince you to, like, hey, can I smoke with you? Like the stuff that they just buy?
Well, if that was legal, if that was a legal requirement, then that's not even going to happen as a conversation.
Andy, that's not even a crazy... This is like a sci-fi idea of the future.
Mm.
But it's like where the science, the fiction part is just good policy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that is a real fiction,
this bloody
political
times.
Environment yeah. that we're having.
Oh, and then like, I think maybe there'd be a benefit. You'd get a benefit if you like did an artwork with the old person, like a collaboration.
Sure.
Because a collaboration in terms of an artwork is probably one of the highest forms of spending time with somebody. So you're making this person who is beyond their years,
mm-hmm.
right, have experiences that are maybe better than almost anything they've had.
Creative expression.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. So they get the marijuana and kids will be like, oh, I'm going to go visit grandma. Oh, you're always visiting your grandma.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's all right.
But then, I want to visit grandma. I'm never allowed to bong on. I'm always here having to bloody work a CEO position.
Yeah.
Because that was
No, I like that a lot. Can I mention my outside idea again, Alistair? They're all a bit political today, aren't they?
Yeah.
This one is my alt-center political movement, right? So we've got the alt-right and we've got the alt-left. This is the alt-center, and what they do is they use really sort of divisive and incendiary...
it's a hard word.
...political strategies to bring people together to reach a consensus.
Sort of like self-immolation?
Fuck. Yeah, all right, sure, why not?
But maybe it's like self-immolation, but it's in one of those stuntman suits.
Great,
so yeah. You light yourself on fire like that, and you're like, you know, keep the interest rates at a reasonable place.
Over interest rates. Yeah. Yeah, and you can say to people, imagine what this would be like if I wasn't actually wearing this stuntman outfit, right?
Yeah.
Because you're still making your point.
Absolutely.
And people can still witness it and witness the horror of it. Doing almost exactly the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so... And I guess the key would be you would have to keep changing it. You couldn't use the same types of protests because, as I know from walking through cities, is that after you've seen anything once, you can be blank-faced and immune to the craziest things. I've been at a tram station and a guy has been yelling at the top of his lungs with the fiercest anger I've ever heard, you know, at some imaginary person that isn't there, and be there within, you know, 2 meters of him and just kind of the straight face, not experiencing anything, just kind of going like, yeah, nobody making eye contact, you know.
Yeah, wow.
But these days, it's like, you know, that's no problem. But if I saw somebody on fire,
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I think I'd still react now.
Right. So it's got to be something new each time.
Yeah.
to really push the boundaries of what's acceptable to get people to sit down and just think a little bit about what they're doing.
Yeah, I think a SWAT team, you know, with lots of guns and things like that, kind of charging through a town, and then they all kind of like maybe through some form of like, what's that dance that you do in public there? A flash mob. And then they kind of all, you know, maybe they all shoot their semi-automatic weapons and a little flag comes out. Each flag has a single letter and it says, you know, use renewable energies. You know, but obviously appease to the far right, you know, appease to the right by having some fossil fuel stuff that makes them feel like they've got a base.
But also that fascism angle of like the men in the suits and, you know, the army. We get to see the deployment of our armed forces to, you know, demonstrate the might and right of the state.
Absolutely.
But also, they're using their guns to make a community garden.
See, I really like that. Yeah. And you know what's strange for me is that you always see these like these military things, these parades and people parading, but you know they're not moving anything. It feels like they could be delivering something while they're doing that. Like.
Good idea.
If sort of Uber Eats or something like that got in with those parades, then people who are in like on the side watching the parade, the military could be kind of like handing off like a poutine or like a, you know, sort of like a
roast chicken. That way anyway, because they also have to tell you the route of the rally beforehand.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, you're running a restaurant, you check out what rallies are happening in your area.
Yeah.
And like a ride sharing sort of thing, you can chuck a couple of
Everybody get your
plates of Rogan Josh.
Yeah, everybody get your lunch orders in, and then
there's a rally coming past.
Yeah, the rally's coming
just
through.
A little bit of coordination,
mm.
and then people wouldn't complain about the rallies interrupting traffic as well.
Yeah, and you could keep it. You could keep the food warm inside one of the big missiles that they're on display.
That's good.
Mm.
I like also just the idea of, because at the moment, what have we got? We've got bicycle couriers, right? We've got, you know, sort of motorbike couriers. We've got car people who deliver food in cars.
That
right?
makes sense so far.
I would like to have my food delivered to me by a rally at the head Absolutely. Of a raging mob.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe I should be able to select that as an option on the Uber Eats app. Can I get my pepperoni pizza delivered to me by an angry mob?
Yeah, or like your corn on the cob, could that come on a sort of like a running of the bulls type scenario?
Mm.
You know, like not necessarily the people running from the bull, but you know, I think that's Maybe. A great idea as well.
Yeah.
As they run up walls trying to grab to like, you know, low hanging balconies to try to get away from.
You hear the hooves clattering down the street. You're like, oh, the takeaway's almost here.
Your mouth starts watering.
Yeah.
Sounds like an angry bull. I guess my submarine sandwich, not of the Subway brand, will be here soon. They have those in Montreal. They make submarine sandwiches. Because you remember, submarine sandwiches were a thing before Subway.
Yes.
But I guess not in Australia, really.
No.
And we have more the baguettes a lot of the time.
Correct.
Which is more French influence. Or
yes.
Even I think it's a lot of Vietnamese places do baguettes. But I guess that's also French influenced.
Yes.
Anyway. was it alt middle or alt center?
I think alt center.
Yeah,
alt center. And you know, they'd go along, I guess, to the rallies where the alt right and the alt left are clashing.
And stand between them.
Stand between them, punching both of them.
Yeah, or themselves. To put them off. You know, be like that scene in
Fight Club.
Yeah.
Mm.
'Cause that guy didn't attack him. It just had this weird flash that the guy who plays the boss in that, I've just seen in something else.
Really?
Like, I don't know if I've just constructed that memory.
I was going to look it up, but I don't think I should.
Oh.
I don't really, is he kind of balding?
I think he's got
a big bald empty bit in the middle of his.
Oh, I think he's in Mozart in the Jungle. Is this a real bad thing to look up right now?
Well, I mean, it's pretty tedious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard for me, and I think it's boring for the listener.
Yeah, right. And I guess because we're not going to edit the podcast, it's not going to...
Yeah, yeah, I don't think we'll be editing the podcast.
Well, if this was Sans Pants Radio, they're always looking things up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, since you went and hung out with those Sans Pants Radio guys, all you ever talk about, Alistair, is Sans Pants Radio this.
Which I should mention, I just appeared in the most recent episode of Plumbing the Death Star on Sans Pants Radio Network, podcast network. And we talk about which fictional characters that don't have dogs should have dogs.
That's great.
And let me tell you that my choice was Jesus. But I tell you what, it's not going to be what you expect.
That's really good, though.
Yeah.
Hey, Alistair.
Yes, Andy.
Matthews. Harry's Razors. Harry's Razors. If you are a listener of Two in the Think Tank, which, and I God to hope you are.
Me too.
Then you could get a special deal with Harry's Razors.
No.
Yeah, that's right. You can go and get a free $13 worth of starter pack for your Harry's face raising situation.
It's like I know they're razors, but in many ways they're also erasers because they erase the hair off of your face.
And to a certain extent they erase the passage of time, you know. They do make you look and feel younger.
Absolutely.
I've had a really good time with Harry's razors. I don't shave all that often. I go through cycles, right? And I'll shave like once a month.
Yeah.
And I always feel so good after I do my Harry's razor. And I'm still going on my starter pack.
Yeah.
Still got my little bit of foamy stuff in there. You get that for free. All you have to do is pay for the cost of the shipping for your starter pack, which includes the razor, includes the beautiful ergonomic handle, includes the shaving cream, includes the little travel-y pack thing head for the top of the razor.
I use that every day.
There you go.
Yeah.
And Harry's razors have sold, you know, more than 3 million razors to 3 million cool dudes all over this and I presume 3 million other realities.
Yeah, and you know what, Andy? I ran my razor over a peach the other day.
Alistair, what happened?
And now it's a nectarine.
Alistair, that joke is even better for the anticipation.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I teased it at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then I teased the audience at the end.
Mm-hmm. Teasers for movies.
Yeah.
They don't really tease movies, do they? They tease the audience.
It's the audience. And really, it's not even teasing. It's sort of baiting.
Yeah,
like
right.
When I put some cheese on a hook and throw it into the water, I'm not teasing the fish. I'm either baiting them or antagonizing them because they probably don't eat dairy.
So a real movie teaser would have to be something where, like, maybe one of the actors appears on screen and says, hey, dumb shorts, you're too ugly to watch this movie, and your parents are poor.
And
so that's a movie teaser. Yeah.
And you're really sensitive to insults from people who are famouser than you.
Anyway, come and see Lady Bird Greta Gerwig.
Come and see The Quick and the Dead.
If you can, which you can't.
You can't, you idiot. Eat my asshole.
And I mean whole.
Yeah.
Like eat it whole.
Like it's a grain.
Is that a sketch?
I mean, look, Andy, it's actually the closest thing to a proper sketch.
Yeah, I mean, we can't just sit here coming up with alternate realities all day.
Yeah.
And call them sketches. All right. This is, let's be honest with the listeners, that's not, there are no sketches in this. These are all things that we want to actually happen. Right? We've been telling you that they're jokes and they're comedy. Okay, but they're not. They're real. They will be real. What did you write that made you really funny?
I'm an idiot because I wrote movie teasers where you really teasers.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb.
Well, it wasn't on purpose. It was because I made a mistake. I was going to just remove that ER like that. So where you really tease.
No, that's good.
But hair teasers,
yes.
Does that even really tease the hair? When you tease hair, does that tease it? When you kind of just make it puffy and fluffy like that?
I mean, that's a different... I think what we've come across here is a homonym.
But is that the same... Maybe that's the meaning of the word that they're using for movie teasers.
I feel like that's even further away, isn't it, really?
Well, I know, but they're kind of fluffing it up to look like something that it doesn't normally look like.
Oh, that's... Okay.
You know? They're showing you a couple of funny lines from Ryan Reynolds.
Right, to make it look bigger and boofier than it actually is.
Yeah, and then you watch it and you go, those were the only two jokes. It's no bigger than that. Those two big jokes implied a bigger film that's mm-hmm. filled with jokes. But no, Ryan Reynolds only opens his mouth worthily twice in the film.
Right, the joke density of the movie is misrepresented.
That's right. It's kind of been souffléed like a soufflé, a big fro.
Do you think that then that we should have realism in trailers and teasers for movies, where like they should only be able to show a sort of a per diem or whatever pro rata like amount of every particular type of emotion and action mm-hmm. and scene that takes place in the film? So if there's one car chase,
yeah,
you can show a bit of that car chase, but then but only proportional to the length of the movie.
Yeah.
And then everything else has to be...
Yeah. I think it would be easier if the teasers were just the film played...
Real quick.
Really quickly.
Yeah, okay. It would certainly be easier, yeah.
Mm. But then you wouldn't be able to get all of it.
That's probably true.
And especially a lot of the emotional weight of it. But you would get a sense.
Yeah. In a sense, you'd get a sense.
Yeah.
It would be...
I think 3 minutes wouldn't be crazy to watch.
What would that even look like? You wouldn't be able to get a single word, would you? Like you
That would imagine how long that death scene for that sound to be.
And that's Schindler's List or something, isn't it?
That's a 17-minute death scene.
Wow.
Where the guy's moaning in one breath. It's actually that magic guy.
Harry Houdini.
It's Harry Houdini. No, who's the one who went underwater for 17 minutes?
David Blaine.
It's David Blaine. They got him in because he was the only guy who could hold his breath for 17 minutes. But instead of holding it in, he's letting it out over 17 minutes in the longest death scene.
Okay, here's a good thing about what this would do for you, seeing movies sped up like that as a teaser. It would give you a sense of if any of the scenes were really long, right? Because like very often, those are the things that make you tune out from a movie.
Yeah.
And if there's anything in that super sped up version of the movie that gives you time to even really cotton on to what's happening, you know that that's going to be a really long scene and you'll probably be bored.
Yeah.
But if you watch a trailer and you can't make out anything at all, you're like, this is action-packed. Okay, yeah. I'm not going to be sitting there wishing that the scene was over.
Sure.
Because as far as I'm aware, I didn't notice any scenes at all.
Yeah, that's right. And that would be quite annoying. Therefore, it would officially become a teaser.
Yes, good. Yeah,
so you wouldn't really be able to get anything out of it.
A lot of teasing does involve doing stuff in high-pitched voices.
Yeah. I'm not touching you.
So, I
am touching you now. Oh, now I'm inside you.
Do you think
in your mouth,
that
my elbow.
Planets where they have a higher proportion of helium in the atmosphere, everyone does get their feelings hurt a lot because they constantly think that people are mocking them?
Yeah, I think
high-pitched voice.
I think that would be a good thing to measure. I think whether or not people get punched in the face a little bit more, that might be more likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that maybe that is a thing that we should consider when we're looking at for planets that are in the Goldilocks zone, just to make sure whether or not
if there's too much helium,
are we going to sound silly? I mean, it would be a disaster if we sent the first humans to a new planet, they successfully established a society there, and they were able to make contact back to us here on Earth. Such a huge moment of human achievement.
But
if they're all talking with high-pitched voices, that's going to really undercut the gravity.
Oh, we're really having a great time.
Yeah, see, now I'm ashamed for humans.
It sounds like something that they would reveal sort of 15 years after the fact, where they would be like, because of the high level of helium in the air, NASA scientists teamed up with the European Space Agency, mm-hmm.
found a way to slow down the pre-recorded sound of the people calling back and lowering their tone so that the world population were not annoyed listening to the people on Astro 5296 Bonkers.
Al, is there anything in that?
Yeah, look, let's
write it down. some kind of an idea, like, you know, I think because we look for planets to see whether or not they're capable of sustaining life, right? But are they capable of giving us a dignified life?
That's true. Right? Yeah,
like, you know, what have we got? We've got the high-pitched voices.
Mm.
If for some reason you were farting or shitting yourself a lot because of something that was happening there,
made everybody, you know, like, made everybody unable to digest lactose.
Yeah.
And all the food there was lactose.
I mean, both of those sound like real problems. I think either way, that's an issue.
But other than that...
But the combination of those two factors, oh my God.
Yeah. Other than that, though, it's a wonderful life. And the lactose is prepared in so many wonderful varieties of ways that it tastes unbelievable. It's but every shit is a sperm.
Do you think... Because, you know, what's that theorem about the reasons why aliens haven't made it to Earth? The Fermi paradox,
yeah.
Right? There could be all sorts of barriers that are the things that stop aliens from actually making contact with our civilization. That's why we haven't observed them. It could be that they use up all their resources. It could be that they kill each other through war before they ever make it off their own planet. What if one of the barriers is embarrassment? Because it turns out that all other planets elsewhere in the solar system, everybody's lactose intolerant and all their food is dairy. It's
lactose, yeah.
And they're all just shitting themselves constantly and they're too embarrassed to leave their own home planet. You know when you've shat yourself and you don't want to come out of the bathroom?
Absolutely, yeah.
Right? Because you're down there, you're trying to fix up your pants or whatever, or you're pissed on your leg because of some splashback urinal.
You're trying to clean your underwear in the actual toilet by just repeated flushes?
Imagine that, but it's an entire civilization.
Well, okay? I guess
the whole planet...
That would be likely to happen in a place where, I guess, first of all, there's a high rate of lactose intolerance, but also a place where there is no biodiversity. There's just a single creature, and we just drink each other's milk.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that would also be embarrassing. We're going to have all sorts of things that we don't realize that are embarrassing about us as humans.
Yeah.
And we'll get off the planet, and we'll be like, oh, my God, you don't do this?
Yeah, well... Imagine that, because especially if you've just shat yourself, and you're aware of that everybody shits themselves, but you hide it from that's the societal shame, right? And you're like, you're out with a couple of friends, and you're like, I can't go back out there and start feeding on their nipples with just this smell of, you know, just milk shit that I've just
like
poured down my leg.
Milk shit leg pour. Hey, Al, do you want to take us through the sketches that we've come up with today on the podcast, which is called Two in the Think Tank, which is what we've just done?
Yep.
Astro whatevers out
sure.
there,
okay.
want to write in and tell us whether or not that's part of the Fermi paradox, let us know.
Great. We got the real-timeocracy, and this is where everything is decided in real time. It's all on smartphones. Leaders of countries and electorates is changing very quickly based on real-time decisions. We're seeing, you know, the effects on you know, the deficit and employment and everything like
Maybe
that.
Maybe even borders are constantly shifting as well, because as people move in groups, there would be some, like, there'd be changing consensus in different geographical regions. So it would make sense for, like, you know, Western Australia to secede one day and then maybe reform with Australia or maybe become part of Burkina Faso or something.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of experimentation like that would be important to finding the greater good, you know, because there'd also be lots of data that would tell you when things were best. And so that would also guide people's, you know, instantaneous
movements.
Choices. Yeah.
Mm.
You know, it would be like those, you know, some decisions are just made as, like, you know, like those exploratory ants that are just sent off to just see if there's any crumbs
anywhere. Ants would love this sketch.
Like that. Well, it would be the the decision version of those kinds of ants.
Yeah.
You know? And anyway, so that's the real-timeocracy.
Yeah.
Great funny sketch, I think. but yeah, that's right. We're going to follow the guy.
Who's the president in the morning.
And yeah, and then he loses it. And then maybe they have a sort of a... He makes a huge comeback to actually, like, we liked his dictator ways this morning.
Yeah.
We're bringing him back, like that. And then he has that 3:30 crash.
And he's out again.
Yeah, and then his electorate, he lives in a different electorate.
He's getting put to death for treason 1 second, and then he's the Secretary of State the next.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think if we had any skill at all as writers, we could make this hilarious.
I think a lot of it would just be like status, you know, like information on the screen, because you'd be seeing it through his first person thing.
Yeah,
sort of like like a first person shooter kind of thing, like, you know, like Duke Nukem or something like that. That's my most recent reference. Or Max Payne. I don't know if they had a lot of information on Max Payne.
At Bullet Time.
Bullet Time. I think maybe there was a little body that told you how damaged he was. But I guess you could tell that from how much he was limping. Next sketch is a GPS for entire life. And one of the features is that there's like a ghost version of you that you can see at any time that is leading the best the mathematically best life that the sort of the central AI of society works out for you.
Yeah, and because people who say, oh, I'm living my best life, do we know if they really are?
We don't actually know.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the time, you're just saying that because you're doing a sort of a downward dog on the top of a mountain during the sunrise, right? But is that the best life? Or could you be, you know,
Could there be a yacht on that mountain?
Yeah, or, you know, exactly. Or could you be doing a sort of a salute to the sun 25,000 meters under the sea in a submarine during a sunset.
Yes.
You know, maybe that sounds like it could be better.
It's actually quite different. You were way off, mate.
Yeah, wearing a gold chain, maybe, which is not necessarily a good thing, but it's a sign of wealth to other people and the other people on the submarine.
And maybe the chain has sentimental value.
Exactly. It could have been something that your grandfather passed down to you when he died in the Dolphin Wars. I wish I hadn't said Dolphin Wars because it's too close to The Simpsons. Anyway, then we got the old people who get weed as their pension.
Yeah.
And then old people are sell weed in order to get money.
I genuinely love this idea.
Yeah. And then it's legal to smoke marijuana in this country if you hang out with an old person.
Yeah.
And then that fixes the old people loneliness problem. Japan would love this.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, because I was reading an article about how a lot of people die lonely deaths over there. Nobody ever goes to check on them. I'll tell you who goes to check on them.
Yeah.
People who need their hookup.
Yeah, exactly. No, but then
they'll be beating down their doors.
The only problem would be developing a culture of people smoking weed over there if that's not really a thing that they do. I don't know whether it is or not.
I don't know.
I mean, look, I've seen at least one Japanese person with dreadlocks. So I assume at least one person has smoked weed from there.
That's fair. That's safe.
Then we have the alt center.
Yep.
Which is your idea.
Yeah, radical middle ground.
The radical.
Maybe even militant center. You know, they are prepared. They want compromise, and they're prepared to kill to get it.
Yeah, or at least make it seem like they're killing.
Yes.
Yeah, until later on they reveal that they did some other kind of more compromising thing where they just merely maimed.
Yes. Exactly, caused long-term damage.
Yeah, long-term nerve damage.
That'll echo down through the generations.
Yeah, that's right. They changed their DNA in a deep way, but they didn't kill them.
Yes.
And it was a great compromise.
Oh, that endo-DNA stuff is crazy.
What is endo-DNA stuff?
Oh, it's the stuff to do with how, I think it's endo-DNA, it's to do with how, like, the conditions in the womb can actually affect the way different genes are expressed, and that's the sort of thing that can, like, if your grandmother went through a famine, the grandchildren can experience obesity in higher rates because of stuff to do with... Yeah, it's wild.
I wonder if that happens if you just fast for like 5 days.
It can reset as well, so I'm not totally sure.
Yeah, right. Oh, well, we'll have to read up about that.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll bring that back in the next even more interesting episode.
Then we got movie teasers where you really tease. So either it's the one where you... actually just tease the audience and you make fun of them. Which is, you know, it's fine. I think it can be good. Depends on what the teasing is. I don't think we had found the best tease.
No, sure.
No. And then there's the other alternative is in which where you actually show the whole movie over 3 minutes. And then people kind of get a gist of something from it, but not enough. And it's kind of annoying.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's almost more valuable.
And there are no spoilers. And yet, there are all spoilers.
Everything is a spoiler.
Yeah.
And then we got the helium planet where people are sort of slightly more annoying.
Yeah, but I like the shit themselves, lactose intolerant idea.
We got the lactose bio undiverse planet where everybody is lactose intolerant.
It was today a bit of a mess of an episode. It was like there's something about it. I guess we were just off the planet, right? Like we were just off on weirder things.
I think it was weirder. I think I don't think it was like the ha-ha-ha-est, but I really enjoyed it, Andy.
I had a really good time as well, Alistair.
Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you for coming as well to
the podcast. And you know what, audience? Thank you for coming today, 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 today. Day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, day 7.
And thanks so much. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at 2inTank.
Yeah, I'm at AlistairTB.
I'm at StupidOldAndy.
You can review us on iTunes. And just do. I mean, like, I know you don't have to. But just do it right now because it'll make us feel so good.
It's
pathetic. And I know, like, sometimes I'm like, I hear it and I go, I do like this podcast. I should go do it. And then I go, but if somebody was to say to me, just go do it right now, I know it'll take three minutes and you might have to log in. You might have to remember your password or something like that.
Oh, that's fucked. No, and don't do it if you have to remember your password. Certainly don't do it if you have to reset your password. I don't wish that on anybody.
No, but that's quicker these days than it used to be. It's pretty fast.
Or they've got some kind of two-step thing. They send a link to your phone or some shit.
Yeah, sometimes.
All right, if you've got that set up, then do it and reset it. But if you don't have that set up, don't set that up so that you can do this.
Yeah. Don't take more than 3 steps to do this.
That's right. If you're more than 3 steps away, and I mean physical steps or, you know, practical steps from rating this podcast, don't do it.
Don't do it. But if you're less than that, it feels so good. I would have a mind orgasm, and not in a gross way, just in the most wholesome
real clean
way. Like a Christian man thinking about heaven.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like an epiphany, like a kind of a religious experience.
It's just hope.
People talk about religious experiences like they're amazing, but a religious experience could just be, you know, driving past a church.
Yeah, or sitting on wood.
There you go. Please, we're going to be doing a show at the Comedy Festival. Andy Matthews and Alistair George William Andy Matthews and Alistair Tremblay Birchall Sci-Fi Sketch Comedy Experience.
Minus the comedy.
Anyway, come along to that.
No, there's going to be comedy, but the word comedy isn't in the title.
Sure. But if they search for most of those words, I'm sure they'll find it.
Yeah.
I don't think the addition of the word comedy is going to confuse anything.
And it's happening in Melbourne, in Australia.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And we...
We love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.